Romans chapter 8 and verse 31, the Apostle Paul says, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?" Then he tries to illustrate this by posing a question. He says, "He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him, Jesus, also freely give us all things?" He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? A few other translations of that verse 32. The Message says, "If God didn't hesitate to put everything on the line for us, embracing our condition and exposing himself to the worst by sending his own son, is there anything else he wouldn't gladly and freely do for us?" New Living: "Since God did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't God, who gave us Christ, also give us everything else?" Amplified: "He who did not withhold or spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, will he not also with him freely and graciously give us all other things?" Okay, Paul is trying to make a point by posing a question. He's basically saying, what is it in your life? What is it in your life that you have need of that the Father God is holding back from you? He's saying, if he didn't spare his own son, why would he spare anything else? Paul's just saying, come on, reason with me. Let's think this through. If you're going to take your thoughts into captivity and bring them into the obedience of Christ, you got to take that thought into captivity to this argument right here and say, okay, thought, before I let you go. A lot of ways, the enemy's thoughts will kind of hit you and run. Say, nope, you're not going to run. I'm going to hold on to you. We're going to go to the Word. A thought of fear. A thought of what if. A thought of, no, wait a second. If he didn't spare Jesus going through what he went through, how shall he not also freely, not just give me all things, but freely give me all things? I mean, put yourself in the Father's shoes. What if it was you? What if there was somebody that you loved so much that you were willing to literally sacrifice the life of one of your own children to try to save that person? In an emergency situation, you told your child to go out, you know, a little, somebody was out in the road or something, and you said, go try to get him off in an oncoming car in a dangerous situation. If you would be willing to put your own child's life in jeopardy to save whoever that person was, is there anything else that you would withhold from that person? No, no way. That's the position the Apostle Paul, he wants to turn those tables on us and say, look at it. Is there anything that God is holding back from you? That's a powerful statement. It's a powerful argument. Do we feel like God's holding out on us? Is he holding back something? Is he holding back finances from us? Is he holding back wisdom, understanding? Is he holding back anything from us? Not at all. No. If there was any holding back to be done, it would have been done a long time ago. This would have never happened. The cross would have never happened. Christmas would have never happened. The reason why God became flesh and we celebrate Christmas was because God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son. And if he loved us that much, how shall he not also with him freely give us? And look at that verbiage, all things. It's powerful. It's a powerful language. It's powerful language, and it's a challenging language to us. And again, we're challenged again at how much does God really love us? How much does God really care? You know, when I came into the faith message, one of the things that I just so loved was just the message of hope that it brought. You know, there's just all things, no limits. You can believe God for all things. Now, when you begin to look at some of the all things scriptures throughout the Word of God, and we're going to look at them this morning, They can do one of two things for you. They can intimidate you because you don't have enough faith to walk in that promise, or they can inspire you, inspire hope that all things are possible. All things in all these areas are possible. When I look at the Word of God, it's there to fully equip me for every good work. It's not there to condemn me. It may have to correct my thinking in some areas, not condemn me, but to correct me, to know that all things, if he didn't spare Jesus, if he didn't hold Jesus back, he's not holding anything back from us. I can know that by faith, by reading it in the Word, but I can see it and get a revelation while I'm still in one of these bodies. I don't have to wait till I leave my body and get the heavenly perspective and go, oh, no, I can get that perspective now in his Word. I can grow in that revelation of the fact that he's not withholding anything from me, all things. Neat arguments. If God didn't hesitate, put everything on the line for us embracing our condition, think of that. He suffered everything, all tempted in every point as we are. He went through all that, the Gethsemane, the torture, everything in the cross. Is there anything else he wouldn't gladly and freely do for us? We have to renew our minds to the love of God and to the all things of God's Word. And this morning, we're going to look and visit some of the all things that he has promised to freely give us. And if some of these all things scriptures tilt your minds, look at that cross and say, hey, if he didn't spare his son going through what he went through, this scripture I'm reading, he's going to freely do this for me. Okay? I just kind of want to have a framework here to understand kind of where we're going. So the title of my message this morning is The Hope of All Things. God puts these scriptures in his Word to give us hope, to begin to look out at the things that God has planned, predestined for us according to his Word, according to his provision, according to redemption, for us to be able to have and enjoy. Okay, so we're talking about this morning the hope of all things. So our desire this morning again too, as we begin to look at some of these all things scriptures, that it is going to inspire hope. Areas that you may have compartmentalized off and said, well, God can't do anything about that. I'm going to have to muddle through that area in my life until Jesus comes. You're going to be challenged this morning because these all things scriptures hit just about every area of your life. God just does it that way. But thank God, these scriptures were not written by a faith preacher. Well, they weren't written by a human faith preacher. They were inspired by the Word of God. Faith preachers preach them. But the origin of these scriptures are from the Word of God. And we got to realize it, see it. Praise God. So, you know, God's blessings in your life did not end at the cross when you received Jesus. They began at the cross. Having not spared him, how shall he not also with him freely give you, future tense, all things? All right? This is the starting point of an amazing, blessed life. So, the hope of all things, as we begin to look at the all things of the Word of God, again this morning, let them inspire hope. This is where God is taking us. All things are possible. This is one we kind of alluded to before. All things are possible. Who said that? Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. In another place, he says, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things that he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. So, the first aspect of the hope of all things is the fact that all things are possible to him who believes. All things are possible to him who believes. Now, Jesus said this 2,000 years ago. Is it still true today? Or was that for a little 3-year dispensation? No. He hasn't changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. All things are still possible to him who believes. Now, when we look at a scripture like this, our mind typically will first go toward those prayers that haven't been answered yet, or we don't know why they're answered, or didn't seem to get answered. But you know what? You, if you've been living for God any amount of time at all, you have already been walking in the powerful fullness of this scripture more than you already know. We've done this at times, but we haven't been faithful to do it all the times. We probably should have been doing it a lot more. But if you were or had been making a journal of every prayer request you've had through the years, and you had been faithful to log the answer to every prayer you've had through the years, when you start this exercise on a little basis, it goes like, wow, my goodness, almost all my prayers are getting answered. But human nature kind of just focuses on the ones that we either don't have it now or whatever. But it's amazing how this works in our life. Again, you don't have to think of the, you know, we think mountain moving, so it's got to be something visually spectacular. I'm telling you what, there are some big things that happen, but there are a lot of things in the full spectrum of what we ask for. It just comes to pass. So I want to encourage you this morning. Again, don't be intimidated by these scriptures. These are scriptures of hope. Number one, right? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Before you can even have faith or exercise faith, hope has got to go before your faith. And as you look at these scriptures and you begin to think and realize, you know, what is it in my life, you know, that I've maybe complained about, I've been afraid of, but I've never really on purpose asked. And begin to write that journal down and say, okay, Lord, on this day I'm asking for such and such. And have that scripture or two scriptures right there that you're basing your prayer of faith on. But I believe, Father, that according to your word, all things are possible to him that believes. All things are possible to him that believes. And again, you got to realize this is something you've already walked in. The moment you want to put your heart on the line for something and that, you know, voice in your head says, yeah, but what about this, what about this? You got to be able to say, yeah, what about this, 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 this. God, you are faithful. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer, winter, springtime, harvest, we sing about his faithfulness. He is faithful, faithful and just, every point of life. I'm not trying to convince you that this happens. I'm telling you it's already happened in your life. It's already happened. Those Israelites, you know, it was amazing to see. I mean, you kind of watch the movie or read the story of the, you know, the plagues and the deliverance of God and God's hand on them. It's like, you know, by the time they got to the Red Sea, I mean, they should have just known. I don't know how we're going to get across, but I just know I've just seen too much evidence in my life already to know that something's going to give here. He didn't bring me this far to have me drown in the sea or to get me eat up by Pharaoh. There's just too many prayers he's already answered here. All things are possible to him who believes. You've already experienced it. He's already healed you. He's already provided for you. He's already given you wisdom. He's already touched that person you've been praying for. It's already happened. You've been walking in this. You have great cause for hope that you will continue to walk in it. You're not a victim. This isn't a victim scripture for you. This is a praise God. This is a power scripture for me. This is a child of God. Yeah, I know this. I've walked in it. Praise God. Does it mean that I understand everything? There might be some things. There might be a prayer that something didn't work out quite the way I thought it would. But you know what? I'm not letting that trump the truth of this scripture. Yes. You understand? Just because there's something I don't know doesn't mean God's on trial. It just means I don't know. And I have to humble myself and say, I don't know, but it's not going to stop me from walking by faith and praying and believing and declaring and realizing all things are possible. The hope of all things. You know, people can walk in this powerfully, and then one thing will happen, one thing that doesn't get answered, and then they'll just let go. No, 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 no. Keep that hope. All things. You can, Brother Hagin, Kenneth Hagin, the guy what school I went to, sometimes he said there's things you're just going to have to kind of put on the back burner. And say, Lord, just show me what I need to know from that. You can cast the care of it over on him. I don't know, but it's not going to stop me from walking by faith and living by faith. That's humility. And God sees that you don't know, because you know in part. There are some things you're going to come across you're not going to fully know. And when he sees you acknowledging, hey, I only know in part, but I'm not going to stop walking by faith, that blesses him. And if you need to get out that journal and start journaling things again, because I can tell you what, a whole lot more of your prayers have been answered than have not been answered. You've been walking in this. You've been living in it. You've experienced it firsthand. And I'm just here to stir you up. Don't stop walking by faith. Don't stop putting your heart on the line and believing God for those things he's put in your heart to believe. All things are possible to him that believes. The hope of all things. Praise God. The next area of all things. You've been justified from all things. Oh, I so love this. You've been justified. And again, this is the hope of all things. Therefore, let it be known to you, brethren, that through this man is preached to you the forgiveness of sins. And by him, everyone who believes is justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. That's a powerful word. You've been justified from all things. Do you know that there is nothing today that is plaguing your conscience that you have not been justified from? There's not a single thing that Jesus forgot to die for when he was on that cross that you did. You never have to wonder, oh, I just feel bad, but it's for the nth time. You know, Jesus told us to forgive 70 times 7. He's obviously capable of that and much more. Which leads us to believe, too, that whatever is bothering my conscience right now, it was paid for right here. It was not missed. It was not forgotten. Not at all. John puts it this way. He says, for if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. Redemption is full of redemptive blessings. And we could do a whole teaching on redemption. So many things happened at this cross. He took the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. He nailed it to this cross. He destroyed powers and principalities, making a show of them openly. By his stripes, we were healed. It's an amazing place of redemption. This is where the great exchange took place, where he who knew no sin became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in him. This is where our redemption was paid for, the currency, if you will, of his precious sinless life, taking upon him the iniquity of us all. Things were bought and paid for here. And yet we walk by faith, don't we? We live by faith. I thank God that by his stripes I was healed. But at the same time, I need to pray the prayer of faith. Praise God and believe for that healing. I thank God he spoiled powers and principalities. But how many of you know that still the adversary, your devil, still goes about seeking whom he may devour, whom you have to resist? I can resist him because of what was done here. Thank God. I have the ability to resist, I have the ability to believe, and I've been justified from all things. By faith, we appropriate those redemptive blessings. Same thing when it comes to sin. By faith, that's where. When I confess my sin, I'm acknowledging, praise God, he's faithful and just to forgive me and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. It was bought and paid for back here. My authority over the devil was bought and paid for back here. But when I put my faith in that blood, the Bible says that precious blood is able to cleanse your conscience from dead works that you may serve the living God. Have you ever had your conscience full of dead works from things that you've done? Thank God, when you confess those things, the power of the blood cleanses your conscience. You're not in denial. You're not pretending like it didn't happen. You are acknowledging it and say it did happen. But there is the greater truth of the precious blood. And I apply the powerful redemptive blood of Christ to that thing. And my conscience is cleansed from those dead works. That for what purpose? That I can serve the living God. That I can have confidence toward God. See, if your heart condemns you not, you have confidence toward God. And that's the powerful thing. You've been justified from all things. There is nothing today that your conscience is bothered by that was not fully paid for on that cross. And you talk about faithfulness.
Great is thy faithfulness. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Praise God. So we've been justified. We've been justified from all things. There is nothing today causing our heart to be condemned that we have not been justified from. And let me just kind of say this as it relates to the forgiveness of sins. You only have to confess your sin one time. Do you understand? Once. And let me kind of clear up something else here too. If you were to die with unconfessed sin, would you go to hell? No, you wouldn't. You're already a born-again child of God. You're not staying in and out of heaven by having a sin. Not at all. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. That doesn't change when you miss it. That doesn't change when you fall. You're still a brand new person. All the thing that sin does is it will break fellowship with God. It'll affect your conscience. But that's where you confess your sin and it cleanses your conscience. That's what Hebrews says. Cleanses your conscience from dead works that you may serve the living God. Restores fellowship with God. So you got to realize that. It's true. In fact, the Bible says that the judgment seat of Christ, you're going to give an account for things done in the body, both good and bad. That's for Christians. I'm going to give an account for bad things that I did. I thought I was forgiven and cleansed. You are. You were forgiven and cleansed. Absolutely. You're here. You're there in heaven. But there's an accounting, isn't it? Well, I thought God would have not remembered. No, anything that you've confessed, that's gone. You know what I mean? Now, God isn't going to condemn you and beat you up and things like that. But I'm just saying that what you do wrong in the body as a believer, it doesn't change the new birth. You're still a new creation in Christ Jesus. Absolutely still a brand new person in Christ Jesus. But it does affect you in the here and now as far as your ability to walk in fellowship with God. If you sin, you should be conscious of the fact that you sinned. You should be. That's not a wrong thing. No, and then from that place of consciousness, you go and say, Father, I've sinned. I'm sorry. I confess it. I declare it. And I thank you for the blood that is paid for that sin. And I receive my forgiveness and cleansing of that sin. And then you have a legal basis to go free. Ah, that is such a good thing. When the enemy comes back and tries to condemn you, say, nope, it's done. Confessed. Under the blood. Gone. Praise God. You've been justified from all things. In other words, Jesus bore the punishment, the penalty. In other words, if a sin, let's just say, whatever weight and sin that so easily besets you, let's say you give into that. And I'm just kind of saying, for example, let's say if the spiritual penalty of that sin was 20 years, all right? Jesus paid the 20 years. He paid the price. What he experienced on the cross was the cost, the price that would incur because of your sin. He served your time, in other words. It wasn't God just looking the other way at sin because he doesn't really care. No, God cared about sin. You have to reconcile with God. The Bible says this is the ministry of reconciliation. God was in Christ, not counting men's trespasses against him. And so there's reconciliation here. So you've got to realize, man, not only am I forgiven, not just that God loves me, but Jesus served my time. He paid the price. So beating myself up serves no value. Nothing whatsoever. The accuser of their brethren can come by, try to accuse me, beat me up, but nope. Nope, my sin was washed, taken care of, cleansed. Thank God at the cross, I'm justified from all things. Why is that important? Verse 21, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. Restores your confidence. And not only forgives you sin, cleanses you from unrighteousness. Okay? What do we say? Cleanses from unrighteousness. It's the consciousness of dead works. Again, you're righteous in your spirit. Your spirit doesn't become unrighteous. You're still righteous in your spirit. But that sense that the dead works in your conscious mind that affects your fellowship with God, when you confess that and declare the power of the blood over that, that's what breaks it off. And you walk into fellowship. Praise God. It's worked in my life for years. Kept my mind in the right place. Kept my mind clear before God. Gives you authority to stand before the enemy who comes and reminds you of something. Praise God. It is cleansed. It is washed by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. So you've been justified from all things. Not only things that, but all things work together for the good. So the hope of all things. Nothing holding you back. Nothing holding you down right now that you've not been justified from. That Jesus has not already paid the price for. Praise God. To blow those things out of the way in your mind. You've got a clear path to walk and live for God. Next one. All things work together for good. This is such a powerful truth. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and those who are called according to his purpose. All right, called according to his purpose. And I'll tell you what, this is just amazing God stuff, isn't it? I mean, this is another one where I really don't even have to stand up here and convince you of this one. This is one we all have our own testimony service. We could have a testimony service of this one, of how God has taken things that we've done and worked them together for the good. It's an amazing thing how he does it. He loves us. He cares for us. He can take our situations and turn them around to where it almost looks like it was his divine design, you know? But we know that our mistakes aren't his divine design, but he has the ability to turn around, turn things around in our life. We're talking about the hope of all things. Another thing, whatever things have happened, God is able to take whatever things and work them together for the good. He's the one with the big picture. He's the one who knows how to get this person here and that person there to benefit and be blessed. He'll take situations that the enemy meant for evil, and he will work them together for the good. You understand, when Kenneth Hagin was on that deathbed, the enemy wanted to kill him. That was the purpose and the design. When Kenneth Hagin got raised up from that deathbed, God worked that together for the good, and many, 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 many people were healed, saved, set free because of the amazing, glorious testimony that came through that trial and situation. But God is able to work all things together for the good. You know, Paul gets thrown in jail, he gets the jailer saved and his whole household. Think of God as a chess master. Those of you who play chess, it's a very strategic game. God is so many millions of moves ahead of the devil. No matter what piece he touches, he's got a contingency plan. And even if he does happen to capture a piece, it will cost him huge in his board. It'll cost his kingdom huge. We serve a mighty God, a mighty wise God. So far ahead. And we got to realize he's working all things together for the good. Even if you realize you made a wrong move, oh, he can work it together for the good in amazing ways. That's one of the things that I've appreciated so much, you know, just bringing up Kenneth Hagin this morning. One of the things he does so many times in his books and things, he's very candid about his mistakes he's made. He's made mistakes that's taken him out of the will of God for years. Said, oh, I shouldn't have done that. Should have stayed in that church. Went over there for 2 years, you know. But, you know, one of the things, it's not like he cried and gave up and, oh, I missed God. No, he just kept following God. You know, God got him back on track, you know, like that, the GPS system analogy. You know, if you miss your turn, the GPS can recalculate another route. Thank God. People that are successful are not people that never take the wrong exit and never miss it. They're people that just keep going until, you know, and then they're amazingly successful and think, wow, I want to have this life. They just did everything right. No, they didn't do everything right. They just kept going. And God worked the things that they did wrong even and missed it together for the good, you know. You know, and that's what Brother Hagin would say. Well, you know, I got some people saved, and God will forgive you if you still, you kind of get off, and you maybe do some things here and there, and you do your best, but you get back on track. And like a lot of times, we think, oh, but it's been 5 years, and we think, you know, that's just a blip to God. I have to remind myself of that sometimes. I think, man, I've been struggling with this thing. Praise God, I'm free. You know, maybe 10 years, and I'm thinking in the mind of God, oh, that's just a blip. No wonder he's just so patient with me. Okay, that's just like a minute in his time. All right, now where were we? Yeah. That's who we're dealing with here. He's able to work all things together for the good. And you got to understand his perspective of time. Very patient, very graceful. Okay, here we go. Remember me? Remember my spirit? Remember my joy? Here we go. That's the way he is. He's a mighty God. He's a mighty God.
Yes.
Awesome, loving, caring, powerful God. Working all things together for the good. You know, Satan's logic, take a preacher, put him in chains, throw him in jail. That should stop the gospel. This is what God does. This is what he did with Paul. Paul writing to the Philippians, he says, but I want you to know, brethren, that the things which have happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it has become evident in the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. Something must have happened. I don't know if Paul was getting people healed, saved, whatever, but the guards, everybody's saying, this man's a god. And most of the brethren of the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. You know, the enemy's plans backfire on him because we have a God who works all things together for the good. Oh, aren't you glad you're on God's side?
Yes.
Man, that's a very frustrating thing if you're the enemy. No matter what you do, God can turn it around for the good.
Wow.
I mean, praise God. That's the one who we serve. We're talking about the hope of all things. One of the all things to keep in consideration is that he is able to work all things together for the good. You can make a detour, get in a bunch of junk, get delivered from the junk, and then he'll use you to set other people free from that junk. That's our God. That's our God. I mean, it's an amazing thing. And again, in his mind, you think, oh, I took this detour, da-da-da. Maybe a few seconds, maybe a minute in God time. He's ready to go. Here we go. Praise the Lord. You know, that's just the way he is. All things work together for the good. That's something that only our God can do. Next thing, all things are yours. Oh, I love this one. Praise God. All things are yours. What do I mean by that? The Apostle Paul, talking to the Corinthians, he was bringing some correction to the Corinthian church. He says, for one says, I'm of Paul, and another, I'm of Apollos. He says, are you not carnal? Who then is Paul? Who is Apollos? But ministers through whom you believed, as the Lord gave to each one. And later on in the chapter, he says, therefore, let no one boast in men, for all things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours. Now, I really want to draw this attention, you know, in the area of the context of ministry, because that was his immediate context. He's talking about this. Paul, Apollos, in other words, they'd be having the same fights that we have today, you know. Yeah, well, Apollos is really the one who's on, you know, Paul. You know, Paul and Cephas and those guys, you're going to have to catch up. But my favorite is Apollos, and he's really the right one. And I've got to kind of have a chip. No, not at all. The Apostle Paul is saying, all are yours, okay? In other words, you have the freedom and the right as a child of God to glean from ministries. You know, there are good things that ministries have across the board that you can absolutely glean from. And sometimes within our Christian world, we can get so in our camps that we can't glean outside of our camps. That's wrong. Did you know that? There are some things I like watching, you know, that are across denominational lines that I just love. I love tuning in Charles Stanley, a Baptist preacher, minister, who, I mean, has phenomenal truths and insight into the Word of God. It absolutely feeds me. Is he from our camp, per se? No. But you know what? It's mine.
Yes. Come on.
He gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the equipping of the saints. There's good books, there's good ministries, there's good things out there. And you know what? It's not your pastor's job to be your favorite Bible teacher. I mean, you got to understand, I've been sitting out there longer than I've been up here. So I get it, all right? I listen to the tape series and watch the TV shows and all that kind of stuff, all right? And I've been fed and I've been blessed. And I thank God for my pastors through the years. You know what they're there for? They're there to love me, to care for me, to preach the Word of God, to, you know, to teach the Word and minister the Word. But I've had tremendous ministers and teachers outside my pastor that I've been able to receive from, be blessed by, and glean by. And I thank God I've had a pastor who's been secure enough to let me minister and glean outside. Now, if there's things, if there's doctrines, things that need to be tested, by all means, come to your pastor and say, what about this? Or does this line up? Or things you're questioning, things like that. But you got to realize that God has put tremendous gifts in the body of Christ. There are tremendous ministries that you can be blessed by. You know, if you got good people that are giving you some good stuff, good materials, man, that's awesome. All things are yours, you know? And yes, your pastor may have not listened to tape 5 of your favorite teach series, you know, and I might not, you know, totally, you know, be totally in that vein of every little thing, but that doesn't bother me. Keep listening, keep reading, keep getting fed, keep getting plugged into God. Go for it. Be hungry. This is my story. This is my song. Okay? Again, love my pastors through the years, have really helped build a stable. And my pastors, thank God, they're the ones that have kept stability in me. You know, I'm like the big frog on the pond in my mind, as far as what I know, after I just listened to my series, kind of waiting for everybody else to catch up to my revelation here. Come on now. I'm not the only one. But what does a pastor do? You look at that guy Sunday after Sunday, he'll just come back and keep preaching the word, and you know, just never going to walk in love, care, and just... There's just a certain thing that you get. There's in the pastoring is that nurturing, caring. He's not trying to be your favorite Bible teacher. He's trying to love you, care you, keep on the basics and the Word of God. That's the purpose of the pastor, okay? And thank God for the pastor, and we need that passion. We need that love, and that's kind of a spiritual person that, you know, that you can kind of go to and love and help understand you and things, but you're not, there's more out there too. There are good conferences to go to. I'm not saying live off the conferences or live off those things, but the world is open to you. You have the freedom to be led by the Holy Ghost and to read and listen to things that will bless you, all right? And I'm excited. I'm excited when people are hungry for God and begin to, you know, the Spirit of God begins to lead them into areas of green pastures. All things are yours. This is what Paul's saying. He goes, whether Paul or Cephas or the world or life, death, things, they're yours. You're Christ, and Christ is God's, he goes on to say. But you got to realize that, man, you are free. You are free to be blessed. Praise God. Even outside your camp. I mean, what's the ultimate test? The Spirit of God on the inside. He's been sent to lead and guide you into all truth. But that's where he says you're carnal. I mean, you can get great truths inside your camp. But the bottom line is that, you know, and I believe God raises up movements to help establish things. I'm not against it. You know, we've say, just because we're non-denominational doesn't mean we're anti-denominational. Okay? We don't have a chip on our shoulder like, yeah, nobody should have a denomination. Not at all. God has used denominations through the years in a wonderful, powerful way. We, and it's a non-denominational church, are satisfying a niche for non-denominational churches, all right? But we're in fellowship with all the churches in the area, and I thank God for just the gifts that he's raised up in the body of Christ. And realize you are free to glean and enjoy and be blessed by those different gifts in the body of Christ. So the hope of all things are yours. They belong to you. The all things of God's love. The all things of God's love. This is a wonderful passage of Scripture here. What do I mean by the all things of God's love? Very specific verse. 1 Corinthians 13:7 says this about love. It says, love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Amplified. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes. Is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances, and it endures everything without weakening. That's what love does. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Now, when I'm talking about the hope of all things, you got to realize that 1 Corinthians 13 wasn't just written as your to-do list for your love walk. 1 Corinthians 13 was written for you to know what the love of God looks like as far as how he treats you too. Right? I mean, it's describing the love of God, but you got to realize, you know, that while you were a sinner, he loved you. It's a picture of his heart for you. It's a picture of that good shepherd. It's a picture of the one who says, come unto me, all you who labor heavy laden, I'll give you rest. He looks like this. He thinks like this. He acts like this. This isn't just our to-do list. This is who he is. He is love. This is the way he is with us. He bears all things. He believes all things. He hopes all things. He endures. We're talking about the hope of all things. As you're looking at these verses should intimidate you. These verses should bless you. They should inspire you. Wow. All things. He's putting up with me. He's loving me. He's caring for me. You know, this is how much he loves me. You know, Ephesians says, I pray that you'll know how wide, how long, how high, how deep the love of God is. Well, we kind of get some graphic parameters here. And I don't know how you put an edge on all things. But he bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. If you want to look at some dimensions there. It's pretty powerful dimensions, isn't it? That's his love for you. Yep, that's it. So even when you're frustrated with yourself and you're ready to give up on yourself, he hasn't given up on you. He hasn't given up on you. He loves you. Absolutely cares for you. All things. Even that thing? Yeah, even that thing. And this thing. And whatever thing. All things. The hope of all things. All things. Oh, praise God. And you know, not only is he that way with us, but the Bible says too in Romans 5:5 that he shed that love abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. It's one thing to know that your God loves you like that. It's another thing to know he put that love in you to be able to love others. And this is a powerful truth too. Because it's one thing, again, to know that God, no matter what you have done, you still fall within the parameters of his love, and he's working with you, right?
Yep.
But the other powerful truth as it relates to all things too is he's given you, he shed his love abroad in your heart so that you can do this too. You see, when this is God's love to you, you're protected from all your dumb mistakes because of his love. But when you can walk in this, then you're protected from everybody else's dumb mistakes that they can do against you. When you are able to bear all things, believe all things, hope all things, and endure all things, that love is in your heart toward others to protect you. What do I mean by that? Let me kind of give you... Let me just talk to you as your brother in Christ right now. I have worked with this. I've grappled with forgiveness and the mercy and the grace of God and forgiving and all that kind of stuff. And I will just say, I have come to be aware, I've come to awareness of something in me that I found that's not right. And I could just kind of saw it. You know how the word can divide us under your soul and your spirit? You can have reasoning in your mind, but if the word isn't there, it kind of just all meshes together and you kind of don't know what you're thinking and what you're believing and kind of get muddled up. The enemy works here in the soul area, but the word can divide us under your soul and your spirit. Remember, this word just divided it. There is something about, as a human being, when you get hurt by somebody. Somebody says something, somebody does something wrong. And again, I'm just kind of talking about what I, as I worked through this. I had a very hard time when I was hurt, and the emotions of the pain and the hurt and the anger and the frustration of not, I had a very hard time not getting mad at God. Okay, no, I theologically know better, da-da-da-da-da, but you feel like, you know, if God is God and he allowed this to happen to me, then he is somehow culpable here. Why would God allow? In other words, even though I hurt enough, you'd kind of feel in your mind, you'd feel like there's some kind of divine sanctioning going on here. Again, I would know theologically better than that, but there was something about it. You'd feel a certain way, and all of a sudden, I'd have a hard time. Just, oh, happy God, love God, run to God. That wasn't there. I'm mad. Why did you let this happen? God, why did you let this pain happen? Why? You feel like there's some mystical thing going on here, that he's somehow involved. And the Lord just brought back to something to my mind that a Rhema teacher told me years ago. And he was just talking to us about the ministry. He said, the problem with people is they're a lot like you. They get in the flesh sometimes. And when I heard that, it was like in my mind's eye, he kind of brought me over here to my mistakes, you know, where I'm receiving his love. And when I miss it, and I say it, and I do the wrong thing, I know I blew it. I'm wrong, and I'm sorry. I got in the flesh, and I did it, and I shouldn't have done it. I have a free will, and sometimes I use it wrong. But I know in my heart, God didn't ordain me to do it. God didn't ordain me to hurt anybody. I know that in my own heart. I know I have no problem with it on this side. And the Lord just, on this side, and they're receiving it, he said, Ed, just as surely as I never had anything to do with you missing it or hurting or saying anything wrong, I had nothing to do with that person saying or hurting, doing anything wrong to you. You got to believe that. You got to believe it. In the same way you mess up with your free will sometimes, people are a lot like you. They mess up too. And I was never involved in it. I never inspired it. I never egged them on. I'm totally on your side. I love you. I'm with you. You got to believe. You got to believe that love as it relates to his love for you when people miss it against you. You got to take yourself and say, no matter what I'm feeling, I know one thing right now. The love he has for me is amazing. And I am purpose. There's two things that I'll do now. When I'm hurt or offended, I go back and I just say, Father, I know one thing. You had nothing to do with this. You said in your word, the flesh profits nothing. You're not behind the flesh. You are not behind anybody who's ever sowed to the flesh in my life. You are not behind it. I acknowledge first and foremost, you are not behind this. You love me. You're for me. And I do another thing is equally important. I remember the $1 million debt he forgave me. I on purpose say, Father, thank you. Where would I be without your grace and mercy in my life? Where would I be? Where would I be, Lord? Oh, if you hadn't forgiven this and this and this and this and stayed with me through the years and making me strong now, but yeah, but boy, the trail of the mercy and grace that you stayed with me. Oh, Lord. Lord, Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And there is something about that love he has for you. It just, it does. It loosens your grip. It loosens your grip around the person that you're feeling that offense with. And you realize two things. Number one, my God had nothing to do with that. That's a person with a free will. In the same way God had nothing to do with my mistakes, God has nothing to do with their mistakes either. It's true in both areas. When you realize that, there's no mystical thing that you have to have a weird angle about God about. None. Zero. He loves you completely. Totally. Two things. Lord, you had nothing to do with the works of the flesh. You are light, and in you is no darkness at all. No weird mystical evil that you're working against me. Nothing. And so, Lord, I thank you. You're not behind it in any weird mystical way. You are my good shepherd. And when you see him that way, he can restore your soul. You don't have a squinty eye. You're just looking full in his wonderful face and thanking him for all the sin he's forgiven you in your life. The $1 million debt, it does something for you. It makes you able to forgive all things, to bear with all things. How can you do that? You can't do that in your own strength. You don't have the emotional framework to handle all things. But his love that's been shed abroad in your heart has the ability to do that. And how do you yield to that love? By going back and acknowledging that, God, you didn't hurt me, but you have forgiven me. Thank him. In that spirit of thanksgiving, you find the grace to then come back here and say, Father, even as you have forgiven me, I forgive and release. Even as you've forgiven me the $1 million debt, I forgive and release this $20 debt. In Jesus' name, I go free. And I don't have to miss a beat in my fellowship with God. A person's offense doesn't have to knock me off track of my fellowship with God for a moment, ever. No, he's still there. He's still there. Like you said, the problem with people is they're like us. They miss it sometimes. But God was never in it. As surely as when you missed it, he wasn't in it when they missed it. He's always been for you, always been with you. Nothing can separate you from his love. Those aren't just flowery words. They're true. That means he's not out to get you. He loves you, with you, all things. The all things of God's love. Praise God. And then the fact that all things have become new. This is a powerful one, just as it relates to who you are, your identity. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Praise God. Amplified. Therefore, if any person is engrafted in Christ, the Messiah, he's a new creation, a new creature altogether. The old previous moral and spiritual condition has passed away. Behold, the fresh and new has come. Ah, I love this. Think about that. Man, when you received Christ at that moment, the old things have passed away. All those old things have passed away. Not some of them. It says all things became new. There is no claim the enemy has. In other words, when you were translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son, all the old passed away, all became new. That kingdom of darkness has no claim on you. You didn't become 95% new, but that 5%, those weights and sins that so easily beset you, he's got you there. No, you're 100% new. Any little thing that's working, it has to work at you from the outside. It has to deceive you through your mind because you're new on the inside, 100% new. All things have become new. All things have become new. And again, I want you to take that scripture to inspire you, your identity, how you see yourself. You're brand new. Do you understand? If you were to die today, you wouldn't change. The same spirit you are now would just leave your body. You would depart from your body, and you would be with Christ, which is far better. But you wouldn't change. It's not like I'm this kind of this, we kind of have, you know, kind of half-hearted Christian, we're kind of doing my best, but man, when I die, then I'll just really be. No, you'll be the exact same person you are now. Without a flesh body and without the law of sin warring against your soul anymore, you'll be free from that pull, but you'll still be you. You'll be who you are now. Death doesn't change you. The new birth changes you. All things are new now. There's nothing you're struggling with out here that the inner man isn't completely free from. Anytime you miss in sin, you only satisfy your flesh. You don't satisfy your spirit. All things are new. Yeah, weights and sins. Yeah, habits and issues. Yeah, those hot button things. But those things are on the outside. Those things are knocking at the door. Who you are on the inside is new. That's why you're transformed by the renewing of your mind, casting down imaginations, bringing thoughts into captivity. What happens when you do that? Those thoughts, those things from the outside no longer have access to you anymore. And now your mind and all that mental power and energy becomes a resource for your spirit man, for life, and the good things he's put on these, and the good works he's ordained you to walk in. But all things are new right now. That won't change. Right now. The church rising up to find out who the church is right now in Christ. Coming back for a glorious church who knows who she is right now in Christ. All things are new right now. You understand that? I mean, when you get a revelation of that, this is bigger than self-esteem, oh, I feel good about myself. Oh, well, praise God. But this is about confidence toward God and knowing who you are. Because when you know who you are, you can resist the devil. Because you know he has no authority or right over you. You're a new creation. This is all external suggestion. I am who I am. I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. I ask and I receive that my joy may be full. And I walk in fellowship with my Father. And I pray in the Spirit of God, building myself up on my most holy faith. And I declare the Word of God. And I say it is written. And I see myself as this new creation, as a son, a child of God. You understand? This is bigger than self-esteem. This isn't taking your place. The earnest expectation of creation eagerly awaits the revealing of the sons of God. Earth, you know, we look at the manifold witness of his praise. They're kind of looking at us to get a revelation of who we are in Christ. Because they're next then. The creation's next. It's groaning and travailing. Not because of anything it did wrong. It was put into subjection in hope. Praise God. Creation's going to be restored to a glorious day. But who are we? We're a new creation in Christ Jesus. Praise God. The old has passed away. Behold, all has become new. Yes, I'm still renewing my mind in some areas, but on the inside, the work is done. You understand? So, realize that. Let that inspire you as you're putting... realizing those old things have passed away. Praise God. It's a done deal. Identify with that new creation. All things. You are. All things have become new. The hope of all things. Let the hope of who you are as a new creation inspire your mind to be renewed into that same image. The Bible says, putting on the new man, putting on the new man who's renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. You're being renewed in knowledge according to the image of the one who created you, recreated you in Christ Jesus. And then finally, you can do all things. You can do all things. Praise God. And of course, the great scripture here comes from Philippians chapter 4, 13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can tell right away when I'm striving in my own strength is when I start to do all things through my own strength. And what happens when you do that? You get tired. But thank God, you can switch over. Say, okay, Lord, I might have started in your strength, kind of went over in my strength. I'm going back over into your strength again. I can do all things through Christ. Amplified, I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I'm ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses inner strength into me. I'm self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. That's well put. Praise God. I've got the Holy Spirit on the inside of me, strengthening me with might on the inside to do anything. You know, Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. But thank God, we're not apart from him. We're in him. And because we're in him, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Think about that. If you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you, I mean, we have 7 points here this morning. You could walk in those first 6 points through Christ who strengthens you, couldn't you? You could walk in the fact that all things are possible to him that believes. Well, Lord, how can I believe? Do I believe in my own strength? You're stuck if you're left to your own strength. No, Lord, help me. Like the man said, help my unbelief, and he will. He'll help your unbelief. And then once he helps your unbelief, he'll expect you to believe. We kind of mean, do it for me. Believe for me. No, he's going to help your unbelief. He's going to give you a word. He's going to give you revelation. And then you're going to believe. He will. You can do all things through Christ. You can believe through him who strengthens you. He'll help your unbelief. You're justified from all things. You can take anything plaguing your mind, anything in your conscience, and say, praise God, it is under the blood. In the name of Jesus, I will not be conquered. I will not be held captive. I see that what Jesus did on the cross was good enough for any weight and sin, anything that be all things. Justified from all things. You think, yeah, but you don't know what I've done. I've done this and this. All things. Big God. All things. There's nothing Jesus missed when he was on the cross. Nothing. Free. Conscience goes free. Praise God in all areas. All things work together for the good. How can God do something with this? He can. He will work it together for the good. He works things together for the good in such a way that the enemy just wishes he wouldn't have messed with you. Man, if I would have just let him alone, you know? Gee, now, not only is he delivered, but he's delivered with a revelation. You know, I kind of was wondering, man, why did the enemy fight me over this? You know, the Lord said, it's not your little victory that means much to him, but it's when you get free, you become a carrier of that freedom. You begin to light everybody else's torch. That's the real damage that he's afraid of. Your individual freedom, if it in of itself, isn't the big threat to his kingdom as a whole. It's what you do with that freedom. But praise God, he'll work things together for the good. He will. He has. He has in my life. All things are yours. There's a rich wealth of spiritual treasure and truth in the earth. One of the jobs of the Holy Spirit is to lead and guide you into all truth. Thank God for the local church. Thank God you have a pastor who loves you, cares for you. I'm here for you. And, you know, I will preach and minister these words and messages as God lays on my heart from week to week. I just do my best to try to be led by the Spirit of God. But does that mean that this is your all in all? Absolutely not. There can be other teachers and ministers that you're drawn to that feed you and bless you. Praise God. As your pastor, I say, go for it. Enjoy the all things and the ministries that God has placed in the body of Christ for you. They are yours. Your pastor is not your master. The Lord Jesus is your master. If you bring yourself into the ministry, it's because your Lord Jesus told you to come under the ministry of a pastor, right? And then that pastor's there to minister, to oversee, to bless you and all that. But your Lord will lead and guide you into all truth. Praise God. And he will show you things to come. So all things are yours. Be free to enjoy the fullness of God's ministry, gifts, and blessings in the earth. Again, kind of relating it to that immediate context there. The all things of God's love, the parameters, he bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. You are totally covered in the love of God. He hasn't given up on you. Not at all. All things. Yeah, but you don't know what I said. You know what I did. If you're even all things, all things. And then he put that same love in your heart so you could be able to bear all things, believe all things, hope all things, and endure all things. Why? It isn't even about my forgiveness deal. It's about you keeping your walk with God. It's ultimately about that first and foremost. Because the design of offense is to get in between you and God and think how God has forsaken you and get you stop talking to God and get you mad until you feel better. Then you'll start talking. No. Anybody does anything to me, the first thing I do is I go over here and say, whew, Lord, I know one thing. You're not the author of confusion. You're the author of peace. And use light, no darkness at all. Anything that has hurt me like that, that's not you. Praise God. You're a safe place. You're a good shepherd. And I also remember, by the way, all the stuff you've forgiven me. Thank you. Wow. Tilt. You want to tilt your mind on some. Try to go back and remember everything God's forgiven you of. Tilt it on his love for you. Praise God. All right, Lord. I can forgive all things. All things have become new. Like we said, you're brand new right now. You're not changing. I mean, you're changing and beholding as you're growing God right now down here. But when your spirit leaves your body, your spirit doesn't become a different spirit. Same thing. Same spirit. Same spirit. You have the same mind, but now you're out of an influence where you have the fallen demons and influences in the flesh and all that stuff. That's why it's not that your mind is all of a sudden so completely immediately renewed. It's just out of that realm where these wicked influences are. But your spirit is already righteous and holy, pure. So see it now. Identify that now. Don't allow those things from the outside to identify who you are. You are all things to become new. All old, the old is passed away, all has become new. When you're in the kingdom of darkness, kingdom of God is your son, even the weights and the sins so easily beset you have all become new on the inside. Those are just the little straggler things that try to come over from the outside. No, I'm new right now. I'll overcome by the blood of the Lamb, the word of my testimony, everything in Christ. And then finally, I can do all things through Christ Jesus. I can do this stuff through Christ Jesus who strengthens me because he loves me. He's for me. Heavenly Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for the all things of your word. They don't intimidate us. They don't intimidate us for having some lack of faith. No, they inspire us, Lord, to know what's out ahead of us. This upward call of God that really does pull us upward to look up and to believe the best. Father, I thank you for your words. I thank you, Lord, that these are your words. These are not the words of a wishful human being wanting it to be this way. No, holy men of old moved as they were by the, they wrote as they were moved by the Holy Spirit to pen these things. These things are true. And we put our hope in you. We put our hope in these words this morning. Go ahead and make this your declaration of faith if your heart can agree. Say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for the hope of all things. Having not spared Jesus, how will you not with him also freely give me all things? All things are possible for me. I thank you for all my answered prayers. Help me to never forget them, but to inspire me to keep praying. To keep believing. I thank you. I've been justified from all things. My conscience is cleansed by the blood of Jesus from dead works so I can serve the living God. I thank you, Lord. You make all things work together for my good. No matter what I've done, you got a plan. You got the next 20 moves all planned out. All I have to do is listen for the next move. Heavenly Father, I thank you for all the ministry gifts in this precious body of Christ. Lead me. Guide me to teachers, prophets, evangelists, apostles that will further strengthen, feed, nourish my walk with you that I may grow up. Lead and guide me into all truth of other ministries. They are mine, and I thank you for it. Father, your love is boundless. I thank you for all the sin you've forgiven in my life. You've never been behind anyone who has walked in sin. You've never motivated it. You've never planned it. You are light. You are safe. When I miss it, you're not making me miss it. When people miss it, you're not making them miss it. You're the same. The first thing I do when I'm hurt, I acknowledge you are not behind it. You are behind love. You are behind edification. You are never behind corrupt communication. Heavenly Father, I thank you. All things are new now.
I am brand new. 100% new. Weights and sins that easily beset me, they have to come at me from the outside. And I can resist them and be free indeed, inside and out. I can do all things through your strength. You're greater than he that's in this world, than anything coming against my mind. I thank you, Lord, for the hope of all things. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God.